I want you to go to Ephesians. Just get that out front. It said, let God be true and every man a liar. I want to talk to you about rightly dividing the word in the sense of a mistake that I think we've made in a lot that we do. When you think of heaven, what are some of the very first thoughts you think of? What? Glory? Come on. I mean, you know, when you think of the place heaven, what do people think of? Pearly gates, streets of gold, and mansions. And I thought about it in the one hope of your calling. That is, if you take and you study the Word of God, and you come back here to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you study those books, guess what you find in those things? Mansions, pearly gates, those kind of things promoted. The problem is that never was heaven. These people in the hope of their calling, they're not desiring heaven. That is not their hope of their calling. People say, well, I learned that in a Baptist church where they taught Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, pearly gates, streets of gold, on and on. That's heaven. No, it can't be, because that could not be the hope of these people's calling. And the hope of your calling is glory or heaven, but it differs from these people's hope. Y'all understand? These people are going to be resurrected. That is true. But they're not resurrected to go to heaven. They're resurrected to go into a kingdom that God had planned. But that's not your calling. We're talking about two different hopes for two different groups. And that's what I'd like to talk to you about today. I want you to look in verse 17. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. The Bible goes like this. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation and the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. And I remember Steve Atwood doing a, Brother Steve did a great message on know. We know. Know. Things that you ought to absolutely know. Know. That you may know what is the hope of His calling. And what the riches of His glory and His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. We had a guy come through Montgomery and he was selling books. And this guy had died and went to heaven. No, no. That's the deal. He spoke at the First Baptist Church of Montgomery, the First Baptist Church of Wetumpka, and you know what he saw when he got up there? Pearly gates, streets of gold, and mansions. You know what I say to that guy? He's a liar. You see, guys, listen, when you think about the message of grace, we're not just talking about a different gospel, but actually a different outcome of the gospel. I'm not looking at wondering whether I'm going to go into a kingdom and establish that kingdom. I'm not part of Israel. My hope isn't a kingdom. But I want you to understand that in all the sense of what we're talking about, go to John chapter 5 and look, if you will, in verse 28. Their hope is life after death. They want to have life after death. But their life and their place of inheritance is different than the one hope of your calling. You know, and when you start to realize that you're not just saved by a different gospel, you're going to a different place for a different reason, for a different purpose, to know exactly what it is. You know, folks, listen, it'd be like people walking around today thinking they're going to see pearly gates. They're going to get disappointed. Where's the streets of gold? Well, that's given to Israel. Well, guys, listen, let me tell you what. This truth, when you start to realize what God gave you, what God gave you as an inheritance, is absolutely incredible. I'm just absolutely shocked at people that would want a place that has temporal visual elements, such as Pearly Gate Street. What we are going to see is way beyond all of that. I mean, that is a very earthly thing, if you think about it, with describing it with very earthly pieces, mansions. Well, you know, I mean, that abundant, whole abundant life came out of that mansion idea. God wanted you to have mansions. Why not have prosperity here? Folks, listen. You know what Paul said? Everybody that lives godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. He didn't say we're going to have it easy down here. He didn't say life was going to be a ball. He didn't say you're going to have the greatest time in the life. He says you've got the greatest Savior in the world and you've got the greatest hope in the world. And that's what uniquely brings about the body of Christ different than Israel with the kingdom. Now, they're going to get resurrection. But I'm glad my resurrection isn't like this. Watch this. Verse 28. Marvel not at this. For the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear His voice. Now, I believe in a voice activation, don't you? I mean, I don't know how dead people hear that. In fact, sometimes when I'm preaching, I'm wondering if they're hearing it. You know, I'm like, you know, it's kind of crazy. But He is going to literally talk to the grave, and you know what's going to happen? They're going to come out of the grave. You know where they're not going? In the rapture. They're not going to heaven. They're not going to the pearly gates right away. Actually they will in the resurrection. But I mean, these guys aren't, because when these guys resurrection, just like in John 11 with Lazarus, he'd be waiting a little while before he got to the pearly gates. Now watch. They're going to come out of the grave and shall come forth, and they that have done good unto resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto resurrection of damnation. Now, let me tell you what. They're going to be resurrected, but they're not going in. They're going to become a priesthood. Look, if you will, in Exodus 19. Exodus 19. They are going to become a kingdom of priests after, and we'll see this in just a minute, the order of Melchizedek. The point that I'm trying to get is they never planned leaving the planet. You couldn't, I don't understand how somebody could teach in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, even if they didn't rightly divide, that these people's hope was heaven. Yet, when we think of pearly gates, streets of gold, where did we hear that? When we were in churches that were just teaching Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that was never their hope. And so there's confusion across the Christendom of what's going to happen upon death. It is amazing, actually. What do you mean? Well, there's people that think in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that all those people dying with that. They did not. They're dead in the grave. You know what he said? David's sepulcher is even on to this day in Acts. You know what David is waiting for? Say it. Resurrection. Resurrection into that kingdom. You see, guys, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you can't get the doctrine of heaven. Nobody even thought about going to heaven. It was all about a kingdom coming to earth and being established on earth. A kingdom set up on earth. Why are people in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John telling you that you're going to heaven? That would be an impossibility. If I ripped out Romans through Philemon, I just ripped it out of the Bible and threw it away. If I ripped out 85 pages out of your King James Bible, Romans through, and ripped it out, there'd be no hope of anybody going to heaven. Not a person. There wouldn't even be a suggestion of that in the Word of God. Not one. Isn't that weird? That's weird to me. Grew up in a Methodist church all my life. Thought my good was going to be outweighed with my bad. Boy, was that a reality when Brother Moore told me that isn't true. What? When he said there is none good, I said, he knows my brother. I mean, you know, the hope. Your hope is so fantastic, so incredible, so beyond anything that you can even imagine, that God didn't spend a lot of time talking about it. It's amazing. But look in Exodus 19. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then shall you be a peculiar treasurer unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words that thou shalt speak unto the Jews. What do you think these people are looking forward to? That day. That's what they're looking for. In fact, it was so anticipated. Look in Acts. Acts chapter 1. Man, listen, let me tell you what. I want to get you excited tonight. I want you to get fired up. Can you get fired up? Say, fired up.
Fired up.
I mean, come on. You know, listen, let me tell you what. The reality, you ought to start thinking about your hope that God's called you to. Acts chapter 1. Are y'all there? Look, if you will, verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you take us to heaven? Lord, do we get to go walk on clouds? No. Will thou at this time restore the kingdom to who? Their hope is a kingdom that is going to be set up on the earth And there are so many verses that you could put toward that, that there's no need to do it. Just look it up. They're an earthly kingdom of priests. They're going to be resurrected and they're going to come back alive. In fact, I'll go out to say they will be born again from the dead. They are going to live again. And they're not sad that they're not going to heaven. They got their hope fulfilled in this kingdom. That's what they're excited about. I mean, this is the very last question that Peter and the 12 get out of. Will thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Peter wants Israel to take its predominant place on the planet as the priest of God. That holy nation. That's what he wants. In fact, look in 1 Peter. Peter's not looking forward to heaven. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal what? You know what I'd write there in my Bible if I had a Bible pen? I would put Exodus 19, 5 and 6 there. That's what I'd put in my side notes right there. Why? You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, not a holy nation. A holy nation. This nation is going to be resurrected and they're going to hear the voice of God and the graves are going to open up and they're going to come forth. Say, well, how will that work? Well, you know, there's a few examples in the Bible. Go to John chapter 11. Now, John 11 is an interesting story because it has to do with Lazarus. And Lazarus is a type of the resurrection. That's some fascinating things I thought about this. And I thought about it in the light of the Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection. You know, when Jesus Christ first came out of the grave, he didn't let anyone first touch him, but he hung around on earth. Did you notice that? And he had a very unique situation. I think Lazarus had the same unique. What am I trying to show you? They aren't disappointed. Lazarus doesn't come out of the grave and say, I'm not in heaven. What? No heaven for me? He's not disappointed at all. Look at the whole story. Verse 11. These things said he after that he had said unto him, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. What does it take to get out of the sleep? Voice activation. Who said that? Good. Now, watch this for just a minute. The whole thing I want you to see is Lazarus is not disappointed that he's not in heaven. You know why? He never anticipated on going. Fascinating, isn't it? Verse 12, and then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleeps, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he spoke of him taking the rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. They didn't get it. Verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now think about that for just a minute, okay? This guy is really dead. He ain't had no water. In fact, Martha says he already starts to stink. Watch this. Verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, and Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. Listen, you know what? The hope isn't to live forever. That wasn't the hope. It was that once you were dead, you could come out of that grave. Resurrection. They understood resurrection. They understood that they were going to come out of the grave. That's Ezekiel 37. Those dead bones. And he says, Ezekiel prophesied. He said, Lord, if you want it to happen, they'll have it. He said, prophesy on. Them bones started clattering and a whole multitude of people resurrected. Why? He was showing in national resurrection. Abraham, when he took up Isaac, believed that if he killed up Isaac, God was going to do what? Raise him up from the dead. It was about resurrection. But it was never about going to heaven. Every church had taught Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Pearls, pearly gates, streets of gold, mansions. If they preached that doctrine, could have never gotten anybody into heaven. Because that hope doesn't exist in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You want heaven? You got to get saved today by the message of grace, by the message of the cross. What is it? Hey, folks, you're not any good. There's nothing good about you. There's not a just person upon this earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All have sinned, the Bible said, and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. So what's the hope? Christ died for your sins. What does that do for you? You know what? It gives you power over the grave too. Except when you come out, there's a thing called the rapture. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to give a shout. Voice activation. And the dead in Christ shall what? And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together, not to meet the Lord in some kingdom, but to meet Him in the air. And those that, hey, then shall we so ever be with the Lord. What a hope. So vastly distinct from the 12's hope. So vastly distinct from the rest of the entire Bible. Take Israel out. Just go to Abraham. Go beyond. It was all about resurrection. But with a different message of salvation came a different message of hope. Gosh, this is good stuff, guys. I hope you're getting it. Are you getting it? So all the time we sat in those churches that taught us Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Pearly, Streets, and all of that wasn't really heaven. It was never your hope. And we bought into it. And you know what? The Bible tells us to be rooted and grounded and established in love that we're not tossed to and fro. And so this guy literally got in front of the First Baptist Church with packed out crowds for 4 days. People just persuaded. Multitudes deceived. And you know why? They didn't know their hope or their calling. They didn't know the different special message of Paul, the different hope that lied within the 85 pages, Romans through Philemon and your King James Bible. They didn't have a clue what was going on in that and how vastly different it was from the hope of Israel and the nation of Israel. If they'd known that, someone should have stood up and said, you know what? That isn't even my hope. But there wasn't any man to stand. You know why? They were all deceived. They were all deceived. The preacher that invited the man in, deceived. The people that heard them, deceived. And you know why? They were never rooted and grounded and established in a King James Bible. Watch this. I want you to think about this resurrection. Verse 22, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. I want you to put John 14, verse 12 and verse 14 right there in your Bible. The Bible says, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Bless God. When my son Jonathan died, I asked. I'm telling you, I did. God didn't resurrect him. God let that little boy's body lay dead in the middle of that road. But he's got a hope. He's got a hope. Amen. He's got a hope. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise in the resurrection. There is a national resurrection for Israel to go into that kingdom. Y'all understand? The whole nation is going to be born again. Why? Because the priesthood has a problem. There will be some good priests and some bad priests. And God wants them all to stay steady. And so He called an order after Melchizedek. Hebrews chapter 7, 8, 9, and 10. And if you read Hebrews 7, you know what? They're expecting to be born again. You know why? They're not going to change. Once they're born again, they're going to be steadfast for how long? Forever. They're going to be resurrected from the grave in an eternal body. So what actually happens? I've thought about this a little bit. That's the earth. You plant someone in that earth, there their body lays. You know, there's only two examples of this in the Bible. One is Lazarus, the poor guy, and the rich young ruler, right? They get married. What happens? What happens to them? One goes down into what? Abraham's bosom, that's that. And this one goes where? Hell. And in between them is a great gulf fixed. Amen? That's what Luke 16 teaches. Now, I'm going to put the other Lazarus right there. What happened to his body? Went into the grave. Then what happened? Went down to Abraham's bosom, I guess, right? Just like the other Lazarus, right? Wouldn't you presume? But it's unique in the resurrection. Now, she said, I know he's going to be resurrected in the resurrection of the last day. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Hallelujah. Amen. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, which should come into the world. Now, you know what she didn't say? I believe that you died for all my sins. She never said that. She believed that Jesus was the Christ. You know what? I know a lot of people that believe Jesus is the Christ that aren't saved. I know a lot of people that believe in the death, burial, and resurrection that aren't saved. Y'all with me? But watch what happens. Come on down in the passage. So he finally gets to the grave, and he's disturbed. Jesus Christ is disturbed. When Jesus, verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said unto him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus wept. You know why Jesus wept? Their unbelief. They don't really believe he's going to come out of the grave. They don't really believe in resurrection. They don't believe in the hope of Israel. His whole nation is filled with unbelievers. You know what? Our whole nation is filled with unbelievers. We aren't even weeping. Jesus just wept. Why? They don't get it. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." He thought he was touched by his death. I'm a little bit cleft. Talk amongst yourselves. He wept because of their unbelief, not because he missed them. And then some of them said, "Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused even this man should not have died?" And Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave and a stone laid upon it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh." This guy is officially dead. And Jesus said unto him, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou should see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hast heard me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they might believe that thou hast sent me." And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice. Why? Resurrection takes what? Voice activation. You can't just walk over to a grave and say, "Get out." You can't do that. Only one can do that. You know who he is? The Lord Jesus Christ. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes. The body, whatever was down here, came back in that body, and that body walked out. But it wasn't the flesh and blood that he had. You know how I know that? That body had no capability of moving. It had to be changed like the Lord Jesus Christ's body in his resurrection. That new body that he'd have as that, whatever that creature was, Lazarus got. If you'd have looked into that grave stone, you know what you'd have found? Say nothing. Because whatever that body was changed into that eternal body so they could see it. He never smelled. He never stinked. He never had any stench of death upon him at all. And they literally took the claws away from him that on the body that stinketh. You know why?
He was resurrected.
And when they got it all wrapped down, you know what he didn't do? What? I'm not in heaven? What? No, because he never thought he was going to go to heaven. It's only 85 pages in your King James Bible where you can have a hope of going to heaven. That's it, 85 pages. You rip it out, it's everybody like these guys and like Lazarus and like Jesus himself. He's a great example. When Jesus came out of that grave, what was in that tomb? Nothing. Say it. There was nothing in that grave. Empty. You know why? That body had been changed into something different. That body could walk through walls. Don't you understand? Yet they could fondle him. He said, "Feel my hands. Thrust your hand in my thigh. It's me." He ate honeycomb. He did all those things. But it wasn't a body like you've got on this body. This body is going to rot. And their only hope was resurrection. Not into heaven, but into a kingdom where they'd become that kingdom of priests after the order of Melchizedek. But the one hope of your calling is called the rapture, the catching up. One hope for you. What's going to happen? Jesus Christ himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall what? Rise first. And we which are alive shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord where? We're not staying on planet Earth. He's taking you away from this planet and putting you where the creation of all of it began. And you will get to see things from the very beginning of all mankind. It is going to be awesome. But you can only go tonight if you're saved. If you're sitting here lost, and I sat in conferences lost, I know what I'm talking about. I hope you're miserable. I hope your hands right now are sweaty and clammy and your heart is pounding a little bit. Saying, "I'm not sure I'm going." But tonight you can be sure. You know why? Jesus Christ paid for all of your sins. And you can have a real hope. And you can walk out of this door and not worry whether some drunk's going to slide on that red road and kill you or kill someone you know. You'll have a hope because you'll hear the shout, the voice of the archangel. And the dead in Christ shall what? Boy, isn't that exciting? You've got a hope, but only if you have a Savior. Won't you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior right now? I mean, if you've been playing with this thing, you've been listening to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you have no hope like this. Right now, you've got a real hope and a real message to get you there. That is, Christ died for your sins.